Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Cameron Carter-Vickers thinks Celtic will keep getting stronger this season after beating Hibs at the weekend. Cyril Dessers is stressing the massive importance of the club's fans after celebrating at Hampden on Saturday. And it's a big week ahead in Europe for the likes of Hearts and St Mirren. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, it's a big week for Kilmarnock and Hearts. And
I mean, I said St Mirren. I'm glad you're here to keep me on my toes.
Especially coming off the back of the weekend. Disappointing, hugely disappointing results for both of them. But I guess the big story is Matt O'Riley. Will he still be a Celtic player by the weekend? Brighton looked to have had a concrete bid put in for him. Will Celtic accept it? Will it be a record transfer fee for Celtic in this one? Has to top 25 million. You can see this deal getting concluded soon.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of worried Celtic fans out there. I know that obviously money talks, and Brighton Premier League have certainly got the big bucks that can go and attract people like Matt O'Riley down to the English Premiership. You look back at the weekend, cup football, the big shocks, Spartans, well done to them to beat a Premier League team. I know a lot of people say that's embarrassing, but give credit to Spartans for that. And obviously Falkirk as well to put out Hearts. So looking forward to this week.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So get your calls in nice and early. Let us know what you want to share with us this evening. Matt O'Riley, again, it's another day. I bet you Celtic fans, every time you refresh social media and you see Celtic post something, I bet the heart sinks a little bit just to see if it's an announcement about Matt O'Riley. Maybe we do prediction time tonight then. As we sit here on Tuesday the 20th of August, let's go for three options, Celtic fans. Do you think Matt O'Riley will be a Celtic player by the end of the window, a Brighton player by the end of the window, or at another club by the end of the window? Maybe you could let us know. We'll put you all on the spot. Because, I mean, if he moves tomorrow, this game's spoiled, isn't it? We might as well get it in there while it's still prediction time. So what do you think? Will Matt O'Riley be a Celtic player, a Brighton player, or at another club by the end of the window? Give us a call and let us know your predictions. 0141 951 1025. As the guys have outlined, and I'm sure you've realised, Tuesday night you're in that period of still maybe looking back on the weekend, still tidying up some of the big talking points. Maybe if it is Celtic, you just want to wax lyrical about some of the football at the moment. Rangers fans, a lot going on at Hampden at the weekend because it was a win and that was important, and you're through and it was a better performance. We had a bit of debate last night about whether the celebrations were over the top or whether that's what everyone needed. Well, Cyril Dessers is talking about the importance of that bond with fans, so you can give us all your thoughts there. Or if you've got any transfer wishes, because it feels like it's gone a bit quiet there. Even the rumour mill around Ibrox not turning too drastically yet. So again, give us your thoughts in there. If you want early look ahead to Hearts, Kilmarnock in Europe, or something else entirely, please pick up the phone right now on 0141 951 1025. We'll give away the tickets to Air Races. You'll enjoy that. You'll really enjoy it. We did it last night. We'll do that in the second hour of tonight's show. But get your calls in. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. Yeah, absolutely fantastic weekend. Then I finished it off. I had a game of golf with yourself.
I genuinely meant as in, like, did you enjoy the football?
Oh, right. I thought you meant just...
Like socially?
Yeah.
It was just a bit of tellers. Wait, you got up playing Saturday night and Sunday lunch. What did you have for your dinner on Sunday?
I was at Sunday afternoon all day. I did enjoy it. And always, I said at the beginning of the show, Gordon, at the weekend, that the one thing I love about cup football is Where do you find the shocks? I predicted that Falkirk would have given Hearts a hard time. It come up, but I'll tell you what, I would never have predicted Spartans beating a Premier League team in Ross County. And as I said there, well done to them. They take all the credit in the world for that. That's what cup football's about. You know, Dundee run out, easy winners, obviously, against Airdrie 6-1. Rangers get through 2-0 against St Johnstone. Celtic were impressive again. And Motherwell go to extra time, but still get the job done. And I'm looking forward to the quarterfinals.
What did you do? Go shopping?
We did that. I did climb a hill. Oh, yeah, I was up the Cobbler on Sunday.
Where?
Cobbler.
Cob?
Yeah, that is a hill.
That's one of the only.
That's not a euphemism.
I've only been up two, and that's one of them actually. So you and I can discuss that at the break.
No, but that is right. You know what? I've got to give credit to him. Every cup draw that we have or cover, he always says there's a shock in there. And I fell into the trap along with Hugh Keevans on Saturday thinking the ties were too mismatched and too heavily weighed in favour of the Premiership team. I did not see, as good as Falkirk's been, I did not see Hearts crumbling, particularly when we've built them up to have this really good squad. They have got a good squad, but underperforming. But Daz is right, the Spartans, what a result for
is them. The home or away nature of the draw the bit that can do that for you, you know. Project that onto the next round, and you know, Celtic are at home, Rangers are at home, you need that. Spartans are away at Aberdeen. You sort of need, You need the so-called smaller teams usually to be at home to give us the chance of shocks.
I used to be in that camp when I was a manager at Ayr. When you seen the cup draws come out and you got one of the big guns, you wanted it at Somerset. And to be fair, I'm not taking the credit for us. I'll give the players the credit. We won a lot of cup games, and it was because of the home advantage. Because sometimes the big teams turn up there, and if they're not bang on it, they've not got that 100% attitude. They know it's got to be difficult. If they don't start well, all of a sudden they've got a problem. And that's what happened to Ross County, and certainly happened to Hearts.
Something strange in the air. Gordon DL just said he wasn't taking credit for something and gave it to other people.
I thought I misheard that.
First time in,
I was hoping you were going to jump in and
12 years on this show. Anyway, 01419511025. Rangers fans, you can look back on Hamden. Going to hear from Cyril Dessers. You can get your transfer wish lists in, whatever you want, because I know there's a lot going on there at the moment. So whatever you fancy. Celtic fans, just a bit of a game, if you like, a predictor for you. Will Matt O'Reilly be a Celtic player, a Brighton player, or at another club by the end of this window? I just wonder how you feel currently, because another day is almost past. He's not gone yet. I wonder just how you feel, which direction you think it's heading. And let's start with Scott and Cambus Lang, who'll kick us off on our purely hypothetical game of fun. Scott, what do you think? A Celtic player, a Brighton player, or somewhere else by the end of the window?
Hi guys, welcome back. Glad to be back on again. Well, you're all right.
Thanks, Scott.
I don't think he'll go to Brighton. I think he'll go with somewhere else. I hope he stays with Celtic, obviously, right? I've been, you know, Celtic banned, but I really hope he does. I don't think so, but I don't think he'll be Brighton for several reasons. One, Brighton are a bigger team than Celtic. Come on, let's be honest here, right? They're not going to go into the Champions League. They're not going to be top six in the Premier League. They're going to be middle table or whatever they're going to be. Okay, they pay bigger, better wages. That's fine. But where's the ambition for Matt O'Reilly then? Where's his ambition? He's winning cups here. He's going to be in the Champions League. So, you know, I just don't get it. You know, I just don't, you know, Atalanta's came in and had four or five bids. That's been knocked back. Has that been Celtic or Matt O'Reilly? Does Matt O'Reilly know why to go to Atalanta? So, you know, he's a better player than that. Do you know what I mean? He's just, you know what I'm saying? No, he's a better player than Brighton.
Yeah, I'm going to start. I'll count them up. Tally marks. That's one for won't be here, but will be somewhere other than Brighton. I had a bit of this last night. You know, the kind of Brighton aren't big enough. What do you think?
All day long for me.
I mean, they're not bigger than Celtic.
Forget that. They're playing in the best league in the world, according to everybody down there. The riches they've got is incredible. And look, as much as everybody turns around and says about Celtic and Champions League, I take all that on board. Celtic are a massive club, and Celtic fans love the fact that, you know, they're a big, big club. Of course they are. So I just think the lure of the Premier League, he'll probably, 3-4 times his salary, easily, Gordon. I know that people say, well, oh, it's money and whatever. It's a short career. And it's not to say Matt O'Reilly can't move on from Brighton, because he's, what, 23 years of age. He's still got a lot of football. You've seen, you go back to Kieran Tierney, I know the argument is, well, he went to Arsenal, right? There was no bigger Celtic fan in the world than Kieran Tierney, and probably still is. But he's seen the Premier League, he's seen a club like Arsenal, he's seen the money, and quite rightly, he took that chance. I know that Brighton aren't an Arsenal, but I'd still think the financial side of it for Matt O'Reilly will be really, really big. So I can see Matt O'Reilly going to the Premier League.
Again, people need to get away from the size of the actual club, and it's where they're competing. Look, Celtic's one of the biggest clubs in the world. Very few can touch them. There's only a handful or a dozen really big clubs in the world that have the fan base, and Celtic's one of them. So, of course, that argument stands up to Celtic. But it's the league, it's who he's playing against every week, it's the levels he can get to next, it's international credit he would get from that as well. And the argument with the Champions League as well, there's no doubt at club football, Champions League, Bill, in my opinion anyway, is the highest you can get. But when you're coming from Celtic and you're playing against these European giants, and some of these European giants are the English Premier League teams who, in my time, we loved playing against them. They were the highlight. If you played against a Man United or we got Arsenal in a qualifier, they were the best. Matt Riley's then going to compete with them every single week. So the level of competition he's up against is there every single week if he goes to Brighton. And Brighton, people see the Brighton of 15 years ago. Brighton is an outstanding club with a solid infrastructure, with plans for the future that dwarf anything up here. So it's not Brighton of 10, 15 years ago, it's a Brighton now. It's going to be progressive.
You're right, Scott, in terms of, you know, he's winning things now, and he might not win things if it was to be Brighton, but he's already won 6 trophies at Celtic. So I wonder if, you know, what's the, you say that lacks ambition, is there a possibility that he might see it as, well, I've won 6, so turning 6 into 8, you know, is maybe, or 8 or 9, does it make that much difference? I wonder if he'll feel like he's done that and wants a new challenge. But obviously Celtic need to find the right price first.
Well, yeah, maybe so, you know, but, you know, Mark's right. You know, Mark, being an ex-professional football player, you know, that is right. It is a very short career, and, you know, you go where the money is. I just think to myself that, is Atalanta better than, bigger than Brighton? Yes, it's the Premier League. It's the all glitz, all glamour, playing down there against big teams week in, week out. I can see the advantage of that. But you also need to look at his career and see at the end of his career how many medals he's got. How many? You know, is that no bigger than money? Is that no bigger than? You know, maybe I'm looking at the wrong side, but I just think to myself that, having a successful career, having winners' medals there, winning cups, being there, I think that's bigger than a money situation.
But Scott, as well, see, some players will compare maybe international caps to that. And I guarantee if Matt O'Reilly goes down to Brighton and he's playing in the Premier League, Matt O'Reilly will be recalled to the Denmark squad. He'll probably find himself at big tournaments, and he runs the risk of that not happening if he stays here in Scotland, purely because the strength of your league. There's nothing much more he can do about that. Is he going to beat the season he had last season? I mean, he was outstanding. Celtic fans will hope so, he'll hope so, but he was outstanding, and he still got admitted for that squad. So at the end of his career, when he looks back on, I don't know, 10, 15 medals here in Scotland, yet maybe 6 international caps compared to the other way about, I think he would take the international recognition.
I wonder if the best comparison is Virgil van Dijk, because you go to, again, what's perceived as a middle of the road club, or whatever the right phrase is, not an elite bracket, because Tierney's actually the only one that's gone straight to what you would say is, you know, one of the elite top tier clubs, where Virgil van Dijk goes. And it's just the unfortunate nature of that food chain. Was he a much better player at Southampton than he was at Celtic? Probably not, but it's just that step, and then all of a sudden Liverpool come along, and I think we all know the trajectory from there.
I said it earlier, I think that's the avenue that could happen for Matt O'Reilly. He's 23, he's a terrific age. He's going to get better. And if and Mark's right, and he touches on about playing against the opposition week in, week out, that makes you a better footballer because you're having to test yourself every single game in that league because it's so competitive. And then all of a sudden, things could open up for him after Brighton. Couple of years at Brighton, he keeps producing the goods. All of a sudden, he could be at the Liverpools, Arsenals, Manchester United, Manchester City's, because he's certainly got the ability. So that's why I see him. And I take on board that there's nothing better to say, look, I've won 10 medals or 15 medals, I've been in cup fight. There's nothing better than that. But as a player nowadays, you've got to make sure financially you're secure because it's a short career.
See, to be fair though, actually, and I know this is the accusation, see, when it's a move like Brighton, Mark, I don't know if it is just about the money. People keep hammering that point and it's an unavoidable one. I don't know what it would be, double his wage, yeah. Certainly, maybe a bit on top of that. It feels like they get praise from those people who keep an eye on English football closer than we do. They are a properly run modern football club. You look at the way they're doing things and they're saying that they're spending a bit of cash this window, but generally bringing in unknown players, moving them on for tens and tens and tens of millions. They've got a 31-year-old manager.
Yeah.
They're a very, you know, forward-thinking, modern. I don't know if anyone's... did you ever see the little documentary the Scottish FA made about Billy Gilmore? Yeah. The training ground is, like, off the scale. Yeah. Like,
so people...
Just all that sort of stuff. Yes, of course, the money is going to play a huge factor, but we're not talking... Going to Saudi as an example. Oh, he's just chased the money. This is a really impressive English Premier League football club.
It's a full different wraparound here. People just see the money and think, oh, that's all players are interested in. You've got to get inside the minds of players to understand what their routines are, what they like. And there's no doubt, if you ask any footballer about their day-to-day run, remember where they spend most of their time throughout the week is at a training ground. And the wraparound service at a football club, that's all important to players as well, not just the paycheck at the end of the day, especially when you're a high earner like Matt O'Reilly will be just now. Now, of course, if you double your wage, of course that matters a bit, but he'll be looking at his next place. Now, if that's a choice between Brighton or, say, Atalanta, and he looks at the infrastructure of both clubs, it's very hard to beat Brighton in that respect.
And also, what you're saying there, just quickly, Gordon, Brighton aren't looking at just surviving this Premier League. I think Brighton have got ambitions to be top six, and they're certainly working as a club in the right direction. As you said, they've got a lot going for them, so I think it is a big draw for Matt.
The key part of all this is Celtic need to get a price that they're happy with before we get to whether he likes the spa in the training ground or not. Thanks to Scott. What about Peter, who's also a Celtic fan? I'm taking votes, Peter. Will Matt O'Reilly be a Celtic player, a Brighton player, or somewhere else by the end of this window?
I think by the end of this week, I reckon Matt O'Reilly will probably be a Brighton player. I think the negotiations are probably quite far gone now, and I'd be very surprised if he didn't sign for Brighton. I think most Celtic fans know about this. I don't think there's any panic, and I would imagine that behind the scenes there's some sort of replacement set up. There's no panic about that. And you stole my thunder a little bit, Gordon, mentioned Van Dijk, because I see it as the exact same scenario. Van Dijk went to Southampton, the trajectory was from there up to Liverpool, and you know, there's been much debated about Brighton being a smaller club, which of course they are, but financially they're stronger. So I think he's gone. I think the negotiations are well down the road. My main concern, however, is that Rio Hatate might follow suit during this window. And now, whilst O'Reilly leaving, it wouldn't be a disaster because they would be replaced. I think if you lost Hatate and O'Reilly in the same window, then you've got big problems because the team's playing with lots of fluency just now, are playing great. But you take Hatate and O'Reilly out of that team, then Kyogo's get injured. All of a sudden, you're losing that fluency and you've got the same scenario that you had just before Christmas last year, the winter months, where you've got an injury crisis and you've not replaced the people that have left. That's my main concern.
Do you think Celtic would let them both go Peter? Because obviously you get to a point where, like, every player's got a price and people keep saying that, and although Celtic don't need to sell, you get the impression if 20, whatever, 5, 6, whatever it may be, comes along for Matt O'Reilly, you go for that, and you hope that fans understand, because ultimately it's such a good price. But fans won't understand, both of them going, will they?
I think the fans will definitely understand O'Reilly going, and most Celtic fans realise that's going to happen. I would hope that, I would really hope that, the only issue there is, yeah, it's fine saying that Hitati's under contract, but if Hitati's head has been turned and you've got an unhappy player in your squad, then that's a different kettle of fish. Mm-hmm. Do you keep an unhappy player, or do you take the big money for him and let him go? I would rather take the money, and you can't have any unhappy players. If his head's been turned and he's unhappy and he wants to go, you know, it's one thing being under contract, but how do you deal with that situation where you've got a player that's not very happy? Look at what happened in January with O'Reilly. His head was turned with Madrid. And is it a coincidence that his form dipped January, February, March? It really did dip. Would the same happen to Hitati? So what do? Do you take the money and you go out there and you spend big on two big midfielders? Are they already looking at mid? So you just, there's lots of variables, you just don't know.
Sure. Hard to see them both going, is it not, Mark?
Yeah, no.
And I take Peter's point. Obviously, there's a danger, but
it'd be mismanagement from the club, and in that part, probably the manager. I think the manager understands what's happening in this transfer window. I think he'll be resigned to probably losing O'Reilly, and that's why Bernardo was pushed through. I think I read that he said he probably looked to replace O'Reilly with two midfielders if he could, but I cannot see Hitati going as well. It would take something extraordinary in terms of money, I think, to prize both of them away.
Okay, that's one vote for he'll be a Brighton player, and one vote for he'll be somewhere else. Any votes for he'll remain at Celtic, get them in right now, and we'll speak to you next.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That's the number that you need, so pick up the phone and give us a shout. Let us know what you're thinking tonight. It's up to you. If you want to move on to something we've not discussed yet, we're taking that vote amongst you Celtic fans, or anyone else I suppose that wants involved. Will Matt O'Reilly be a Brighton player, a Celtic player, or at another club by the end of the window? It's been an interesting response so far, and you can join in. You can look back on the weekend's cup action, you can look forward to something else entirely, transfer wish list, Europe coming up round the corner, whatever you so wish. Didn't see you at the Motherwell game on Sunday. I went along, I was looking for you. I thought
I was waving to you.
It's just next to your house, surely you'll be there. Bit of research,
yeah,
for the show this week.
I was waving over.
No, you weren't.
Shouting, Gordon. Mm-mm. Gordon, I'm here. Okay, I phoned you.
Where were you?
I had a other engagement at the Carrick golf course.
All he thinks about is this. Well, one of the two things he thinks about is golf, this guy. Never think about going along to a football game, getting a bit of research done, see the players in the flesh.
Well, I was there in pre-season, so I've been doing
they've
a lot.
Come
of,
on since then.
Yeah, it was a great result for them. Extra time. I thought it was a 3 o'clock kickoff, to be frankly honest with you. Then I realised it wasn't, so that's what
sounds
happened.
Sounds like your playing days when you say the gaffer. Sorry, I've done that before.
Yeah, turn up there.
Let's go back to the phones before you lie yourself into a corner. Ricky is on. How's it going, Ricky?
I'm all right, Gordon. Can I ask you a question before we start this?
Ask me a question.
Yes, you have a cousin called Neely.
Oh, and the name. Let's not do family trees on the show, Ricky.
He's asking if he's got a cousin.
I'll give the producer my private number. We can do this off air.
No, because she told me she was your cousin. I've known her for quite a number of years.
That sounds about right. I'm sure she was telling the truth. Don't you worry.
No. She told me you're a Murrow fan. I couldn't believe that. You're able to tell me that. But there you go. Right, so, Matt O'Reilly. I think you'll stay at Celtic. I don't think you'll go anywhere. I don't even think you'll go to Brighton. What these people want to pay Celtic for him. The money that Celtic are wanting is, Brendan says, you're not buying the league here, you're buying the player. So the player is far, far better than the league. I've never heard Matt O'Reilly coming out with any statements about these transfer speculations. And more importantly, I've never heard his agent coming out and saying any statements regarding these speculation. Now, his agent isn't coming out, because his agent, well, they obviously financially gain out of this, but his agent isn't coming out and saying stuff. Maybe the guys tell his agent, I'm happy where I'm at. I don't want to go anywhere just now. I want to stay at Celtic.
Just because, and I think we've maybe got ourselves in a situation, Mark, where agents do that, or you know, you hear noises being made just because Matt O'Reilly's doesn't. I don't know, is that encouraging the way Ricky sees it?
Not to me. I think Matt O'Reilly has conducted himself in a way, you know, that footballers should. I think he should be quite proud of that in an era where people are quick to go on Instagram or social media and state that they want out, or they're unsettled, or whatever.
He's
or there's various ways
that,
of doing
that.
No, not the type of character he seems. So he has kept quiet. And you know what? The previous caller, Pierre, was saying about his form around about January, maybe taking a wee wobble because of Atletico Madrid rumours. And he took a wee dip, but he got himself back to playing his best football. And I think he started the season terrifically well, which must be hard when you've got speculation surrounding your future. But I think he's been nothing but professional. And I think he just understands that does his job on the pitch and whatever will happen, the club will take care of. But I can't agree with Ricky and think he'll stay at Celtic. I think, I said, was it last month or 3 weeks ago when Atalanta made that bid? I thought then that was the beginning of the end for Matt O'Reilly. When you get one concrete bid in, I think it only then escalates until you get an end point.
Is the annoying thing, Ricky, that, you know, does history not tell us that, you know, the number of players that you've seen at Celtic and they reach a good stage in their Celtic career and they do really well and they win things and then they do just sort of move to England. Is that not the way it works, unfortunately?
Aye, that's the way it works. And that's the kind of club we are. I mean, if we bring in a boy for a million and a half and somebody's wanting to give us 30 million, and I think that's what Celtic's looking for. If they want to give us 30 million, then certainly we for congratulations and well done and hope you do fine in the future. That's just the way it is with Scotland. But I don't think that everybody is want to go. I don't think Cal McGregor, I don't know if anybody's ever approached Celtic regarding him in the last 10 years, but that guy's no want to go. So there is guys that really are quite happy being settled. I know it's a short career, but they get financially rewarded very well nowadays. Football players, maybe it'll be Dave Gordon in March time, but they get financially well rewarded. So
why do you think that I'm here, Ricky?
Yeah,
honestly, talk about
Ricky. We're skinting
Ricky. Again, Ricky, it's a fine point, but the only ones that ever get mentioned really in that bracket currently are Callum McGregor and then before that Scott Brown and James Forrest. Scottish guys who sort of came through and were there and were quiet and successful and went about their business and stayed, and we assume Callum McGregor will stay. It just doesn't feel like Matt O'Reilly is in that.
I don't get the
bracket.
Feeling with Matt O'Reilly. I think Matt O'Reilly's looked at the bigger picture. I think he wants to go to the Premier League. There's nothing up with staying with a club like Celtic. If you know, look at Callum McGregor, fantastic career. Talks about all the trophies, medals he's won. Financially, he'll be okay as well. But it just depends on what you look at in your future as a footballer. Now, I totally agree with Ricky as well, and I think every Celtic fan's the same. If the window closes, Matt O'Reilly's still a Celtic player. I don't think he will be, but if he's still a Celtic player, Matt O'Reilly will get his head down and just go on with it and play, because he knows a move will come sooner or later. But I just think with the fact that now they're talking round about that 25 plus 5 add-ons and stuff like that, Gordon, I can see that being put into place very quickly.
And I think that's a fair price for him.
Ricky said 30. Do you think the Kieran Tierney ballpark does it? Would it need to be a club record? To I think Jota was similar, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it might push just above 25 for where Matt O'Reilly is, what he offers within a game, and how he can develop, and you know, the international stage as well. He's had a wee taste of that. So I think 25 maybe plus add-ons, and I think Celtic would settle for that. But whoever gets him, they're going to get a wonderful player, and I think Celtic fans, you know, should applaud him for the way that he's served the club in his time, but also with all the speculation surrounding him, he has been one of the quiet players who just gets on with it and doesn't kick up fuss. And sometimes they're rare in the game nowadays.
I think especially at the start of the season, Gordon, he's looked bang at it again, hasn't he?
Like Brendan Rodgers, you've got to say, he's played a massive part in that. Since Brendan Rodgers came in to Celtic, Matt O'Reilly's upped his game. And that's all the fact that he's worked with him, gave him more responsibility, gets more goals, i.e. that's why Celtic can ask for such a big price. That's why there's people out there willing to probably go and pay that big price, because he's improved so much. And I keep going back to it, he's still 23. He's even going to get better, Gordon, if he keeps improving the way he's going about it. He looks like a dedicated professional, gets on about his business. You never hear anything bad about the lad. He just gets his head down and does what he has to do and what he's good at. So I think that Matt O'Reilly won't be a Celtic player. I don't like seeing players leaving Scottish football, but I can totally understand that if he goes to the Premier League, the reasons why.
Look, you would think we'd done this deliberately. One vote for be a Celtic player, one vote for go to Brighton, one vote for go somewhere else. What's your prediction about where Matt O'Reilly will be come the end of the window? Maybe it is here. Maybe we're still talking about him scoring goals in our domestic competitions long into the season. We will see. What about James in Port Glasgow? What's your verdict, James?
Good evening, Gordon, Mark. Hello. And Gordon. I'm so frustrated. Celtic are Scrooges. Brendan Rodgers is the new Oliver Twist. Please, can I have some more? And we're talking tonight about Matt O'Reilly. I'll get back to him in a minute. Last season, we lost 20 goals in the Champions League, and we still haven't got two central defenders in. That's what we need. No Matt O'Reilly. Two central defenders, and we'll get the same doings that we got last year, because the same players are still there, except we've got a new goalkeeper. Please tell me, after 12 weeks, I've watched programmes after programmes saying, this is the Brendan Rodgers quote, we know where they want to strengthen. Well, why haven't we got them? After 12 weeks, you're kidding yourself on here. We've got the money. And as for Matt O'Reilly, I don't care where Matt O'Reilly goes. Great player, great servant. If you want to leave the club, ta-ta. But the point is, my second wee point is this, if Iwata, Thiago Holm and Bernardo, that's the three players I believe who could fill a role for Matt O'Reilly.
Well, so you wouldn't even replace Matt O'Reilly if he did go? You think there's players there?
Well, what's the point of buying Bernardo if he's not going to fill in? He seems to like Thiago Holm, and Iwata was the Chinese player of the year last year. The boys got it. So if you've got the players, put them in. It can't get any worse. It can only get better.
Well, a couple of seasons ago, Japanese football Iwata came from. Mark, the Brendan Rodgers has said, I think recently, that it would be two midfielders if Matt O'Reilly left. James has got none because he thinks the answers are already in the building.
Well, I do think there was a period that thinking Bernardo might have been the replacement, but I don't think he's going to be. But anyway, he's in the building anyway. I still think you need one. I don't think Iwata can do anything like what Matt O'Reilly can do in terms of where he takes you in the pitch and the goals he scores. I think Iwata's more a replacement for Callum McGregor, or you know, you can maybe push McGregor on a wee, but anyway, I think you need someone in that gives you that quality, that creativity that Matt O'Reilly gives you. I don't think it's in the building just now at Celtic if Matt O'Reilly leaves tomorrow. But I do agree with James about the centre half problem. I mean, Lager, Bielka, Navrotsky, who I stuck up for, but look, the guy kind of keep himself fit. Scales is doing a good job domestically, but if you're going to compete at the top table, you're going to need another Carter Vickers beside Carter Vickers.
This is just one man's humble opinion, and I could be wrong. If James is satisfied that this window would end, Matt O'Reilly would leave, and there would be no replacement, I think James is the most patient, understanding Celtic fan in the country. Because yeah. I think these phone lines would be hot if that was to be the case.
I agree with you. I think that if Matt O'Reilly leaves, I think Brendan Rodgers is ready to step in, obviously, and there'll be targets there. Where I do agree with James and Mark, 100%, I think he needs cover at the back. There's a lot of games coming up, Champions League. You even look at a left-back position. Taylor's been excellent there, but there's not really any much competition for him. So I think defenders are a must as well. I think Celtic have still a bit of business to do before his window closes.
Well, I would agree. The left-back position is an odd one. Ever since Bernabe went, I assumed that there must be somebody lined up, and there was an own Beck rumour that kind of circulated for a bit, and I think most Celtic fans would have been quite happy to see someone like that, a young player who can come in and, you know, develop but push Taylor at the same time. It's all went a bit quiet, and let's be honest, I played fullback. They're not the hardest to get over the line, you know, in terms of transfers. Strikers like him,
this guy doing down his own
but
industry.
Strikers like him could be picky, and it could be difficult contracts.
So fullbacks
and fees
are simpletons that will just sign at the drop of a hat.
Look at me, 500 grand, that's what took to get me, you know.
Rip off.
What a bargain. I should have been up there with, you know, what was it, Henrik Larsson?
Similar fee to you, actually. Yeah, I can see that. They're often mentioned in the same breath.
Yeah.
Dundee United done well getting 500,000 for you, mate.
Well, funnily enough, James says he wants two new central defenders. Let's hear from one of them, Cameron Carter Vickers. Did you hear what he was referred to last night?
That was funny.
On the show, no, Cameron Carpet Slippers. Or by one caller.
He just slipped it in, but he didn't mean it as a joke. He just,
no, I think he'd, well, I don't know.
But he just said it so nonchalant. Yeah.
Andy
Halliday
couldn't stop laughing at it. But anyway, he thinks, not Andy Halliday, Cameron Carpet Slippers thinks Celtic can keep getting stronger this season. He was happy with the performance against Hibs, but disappointed they did not keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. Pretty good performance overall. I thought throughout the game we kind of maintained our level. I was disappointed to concede the goal, but you know, apart from that, I thought it was pretty good. Three performances so far have been good, as well as the ones in pre-season. But it's early, you know, for us it's just about continuing to try and work and try and improve, and you know, that's what we've been doing so far, and you know, if we continue doing that, we'll be in a good place. Since the manager's second year now, and I think it's only natural that the kind of the more time he gets with a group, the more we can kind of implement the way he wants to play and the way he wants to train and work. I think we're definitely capable of more. We started well, and it's kind of been a continuation from pre-season, but you know, hopefully, you know, as the season goes on and we continue to kind of work together, we'll improve and get better. And you know, I think kind of it's all good kind of doing it in the first 3, 4, 5 games, but I think the key is consistency. You know, if we can kind of maintain that level and improve a little bit throughout the season, then that'll be great.
We are also going to hear from Cyril Dessers, stressing the massive importance of the club's fans after those celebrations at Hampden on Saturday. Generally speaking, Rangers fans, whether it's that or something else or transfer rumours or wish lists, whatever it is, now would be the perfect time to call. So let's hear from you tonight, and we'll do this first. Right, we want to make you £290,000 richer on the cash register. It's the biggest prize we've ever had on the competition, and if you want to win, you need to be in the draw. Remember the amount, £290,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. All the rules for this Rio Network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday, so you're slowly running out of time. Make sure you answer your phone within the 5 rings, tell us the cash register amount, which is £290,000, and it would be paid into your bank straight after the call. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel are here. Have you been sacked or something? Why is it you started appearing here on a Tuesday again, like you used to?
Like, I've just made the time for you guys. I missed hanging out with you.
He dropped us. He's like a hot potato.
Is that what it is? Ready. Yeah.
He's training ground.
Yeah, where he trains, it's not ready for him, so he gets a Tuesday off. So he sneaked back in.
I've made the time. I like to paint it as I've made the time for you.
Well, I'm joking about the sacking, because did you hear that we have to keep this under wraps, but he got a good high profile victory.
Oh no, I heard all
on Friday, but it was behind closed doors and he doesn't want to rob anyone's.
Oh no, it wasn't behind closed doors, it was a capacity crowd.
All right, so why is it a secret like, then? No, you just don't want to brag about it.
I don't like bragging, do we?
Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle under 18s are sweeping all before them. A 4-0 win against one of the big boys. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. We'll just leave it there. And you don't need to say anything. Me and him will say it.
Well done. What I don't like though is your lack of belief in me, because when you came in on Saturday he was in before you, so Hugh said to him, how do you think he got on? And he said exactly what you said, five, beat by five.
You had a daft, or then you had a daft smile on your face.
Went, no, seven
you had
or
a daft
more.
Smile on your face, which made me think you had been hammered and we were going to ridicule you.
Who needs enemies when you've got mates like you?
I didn't know you were sweeping in and beating good big teams 4-0. That's all I have to say.
Well, he gave the players all the credit, but I'm taking all the credit. Well,
it's
the manager that gets sacked, isn't it? Well, I've changed my outlook in life.
We'll see. Craig is a Rangers fan in Knightswood. Craig, how's it going tonight?
Yeah, not too bad yourself.
Not bad. What's in the mind of a Rangers fan today? It feels like it's just been non-stop. You've had a rare quiet day. I don't suspect there's much pressing, but what's the overall feeling?
Well, I was actually going to make a point on Matt O'Reilly.
Sure, you can do that as well. Yeah.
Yep. So I think Celtic should should learn from Rangers' mistakes of not cashing in when they should. And I think Matt O'Reilly, and I know there's been talk of saying he's no ambition if he goes to Brighton, but I disagree with that, to be honest. I think if he goes to Brighton, he'll be making a really good step, because they're a very well managed club and they seem to have a very good.
So you could you mentioned your own team in there, almost like that's that player trading thing that you sort of, you know, that Rangers are sort of trying to do. You think that should always be, you know, put into place when you can.
You can't take your risks, because if Matt O'Reilly breaks his leg in 2 weeks, then Celtic's, his value is totally down. Whereas at the moment his value is high.
Yeah, I think that's. Craig's just looking out for his rivals across the city, just making sure they do their business properly. That's obviously part of it, isn't it?
Well, Celtic are good at doing that, aren't they? They sell players on. They look for the best possible price, and they've been very patient, because obviously there've been offers put in for Matt O'Reilly and they've refused them. They know what he's worth. Brendan Rodgers knows he's worth. Celtic know he's worth, and they're prepared to wait for him. So. I agree. I think that if the price is right, then obviously you cash in the players.
You're right, Craig. I mean, that's the bit that Rangers were hoping to do. They thought they'd maybe kick-started it with Nathan Patterson, Calvin Bassey. It's definitely slowed.
And Aribo, and then...
Yeah, there was maybe even a time when...
Morelos, who hang about too long, Kent hang about too long, and then you lose them for nothing. Mm-hmm.
There was maybe even a time when Todd Cantwell would have been earmarked as... You know, because he came in and kind of hit the ground running fairly quickly. And maybe that would have been the plan, and now... It's sort of the opposite. It kind of looks like you're waiting to see if he can get a move, Craig, before any business in.
Well, that is a nightmare of a situation for Rangers at the moment. We had Jane Cadwell, two guys who run a lot of money, who are, I mean, they've got ability, but it's just, if they're not fitting into the plans, then they need to move on. But it's trying to move them on when they're on such high wages.
Yeah, you don't need loads of rumour and speculation. Like, things can happen, and they can happen quick. But you know, for Rangers fans who aren't seeing much transfer business, and I feel like they're probably at the stage, like Craig, that they'd settle for a rumour. You know, it feels like you're getting the odd one here and there, but it does look quite quiet. Is it a case of definitely waiting until a conclusion is reached with those two players that are mentioned?
Yeah, because Craig quite rightly says they'll be big earners. I think the manager would be delighted to hear a rumour, because he's looking to get new players in. But he obviously can't move until he frees up some money, and obviously Cantwell's a big earner. Hadji will probably be in that same bracket, Gordon, so you've got to try and get these guys out the door. And it's a fine act, because if the money doesn't come in for them, they're not going to move, because they're in good contracts. It's not their problem. It was Rangers that gave them the contract. They're quite entitled to sit there and wait till the right move comes along. But I think it'd be better for both parties, for everyone concerned, that if Rangers could try and get them out the door, free up some money for a manager, and try and get new players in.
I wonder if they don't move, or nothing materialises before the end of the window, if they find themselves back in the squad again. And I've heard the rumours, and it is only rumours, about Hadji. If he plays one more game, then he goes on to a different deal that's a higher earner. But Philippe Clement can't move for any other players while these two are still in the building, and he's left with them after the transfer window shuts, then treat them like two new players maybe and get them back in the squad. Rangers are poor at the minute at the top end of the pitch. They lack creativity. I think Cherney looks okay at times, but you look at Danilo, Desser's okay, he scores the goals, but he needs ammunition. Matondo and McCausland are flitting in and out. Lawrence isn't pulling up any trees, yet you've got Hadji and Cantwell, two players who can create for you that are doing nothing apart from training.
Craig, does this mean that you've got a bit of sympathy for the manager? Do you feel he's been a bit restricted, or...?
Yeah, his hands are tied behind his back at the moment. I mean, I can see the Hadji thing. Hadji is a good player who has numbers, and he's the season that they won the league, which is a long time ago, unfortunately, he was one of the best performers, and he produced numbers. Cantwell doesn't produce numbers, unfortunately, for all his ability.
Yeah, I mean, the talking about, you know, finances being in place, I see Abdallah Sima's gone to a club in France, you know, to start earlier on. Rangers maybe did ask the question, maybe it was too much, maybe they didn't want to spend that much. I don't think that in itself has to be a drama, but I've just seen some Rangers fans on social media almost, it's just another reminder of maybe what could have been if finances had been different. Or
Listen, Rangers have got a big squad. I know they've got a lot of injuries, but they've got a big squad and they'll have a big wage bill, and you've got to try and cut that. But that's the most difficult part for a manager in a club. If you're giving out big contracts and nobody's prepared to come in and pay money for them, they've just got to sit there and take their money. I don't think, unless something dramatic happens with Cantwell, I don't think there's any way back for Cantwell. Unless he goes in and he puts his hands up and he apologises and talks about that he wants to stay, he wants to, you know, get his sleeves rolled up and try and help as much as he can. Because Cantwell's a decent player. I like Hadji. I think Hadji could have a lot to offer. But obviously the manager looks at the situation and wants him out the building as quick as he can.
Thank you very much to Craig. Bang on the second that we usually turn our attentions to put you two in the spotlight and play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. What's the record, remind me? Have you still not played this season?
No, I played.
You played once.
Right, okay. Lost one?
No, played that one, beat one, remember one. Was that Linda from Motherwell? Nicholas from Motherwell.
So we did, right. Anyway, Beat the Pundit tonight. You have to get the phone number in, 01419511025. You need to do that before 7 o'clock, and then we'll try and pull out a caller at random to take on one of these two with a money can't buy Clyde One Super Scoreboard signed ball up for grabs. Honestly, what an incentive. Call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. If you want to join in, we would absolutely love you to. The first hour, we were having a bit of a... we're trying to put democracy in action. You could vote on your outcome for Matt O'Reilly this window. Will he be a Celtic player? Will he be a Brighton player? Will he be somewhere else? There was quite an even spread of votes, I have to say, with a mixture of opinions. So if you want to add yours, please do. We had Rangers fan just before the news talking about the need for Todd Cantwell and Yanis Hadji to move on and try and get some signings in. So if you want to elaborate there, you can do. We're going to hear from Cyril Dessers as well on trying to build a connection with the fans. So get your calls in right now. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Would you believe our esteemed colleague Hugh Keevans is the early pace setter at the top of the table?
He'll be like Brighton though. He'll fall away.
Three wins from three.
Nah, he'll fall away.
So Hugh and Brighton, his beloved Seagulls,
doing well, Hugh,
are top. Because you know the way fans feel about Hugh on this show, that just want to blame him for everything.
Yeah.
I like to think that if Matt O'Reilly does move to Brighton, it'll somehow be Hugh's fault because he's a Brighton
get
fan. We could just blame him for that as well. But anyway, Martin is on Beat the Pundit tonight. How's it going, Martin?
Well, it's not bad. Not bad.
Usual question: have you ever played it before?
Oh, first time.
Good. You play along at home?
Aye.
do okay?
Aye. Third time.
Did he say third time or first time?
No, first time.
First time.
First time. I thought he said third time as well. By the way, I met somebody walking up the Cobbler, halfway up the Cobbler on Sunday, who says that we owe them a ball still. They wouldn't beat the pundit and they've now received their ball.
Sounds like something we would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drop it off.
I blamed one of the producers.
Did he say who he beat?
Did he say who he beat? No, but he says he's only a ball. It's a weird thing to say. Just walking up a hill.
You can never get away from the from the madness of this show, can you? You think you're how many feet up in there?
You're not missing anything. The ball's signed by all us Muppets.
Excuse me, this is money can't buy. Collector's item. You didn't get his name, no?
I didn't get his name, but if you're listening, well,
phone us.
Phone
us. You're not getting your ball.
You're still not getting one.
Yeah, if you're listening.
But here's hoping, Martin.
Yeah,
Martin, you don't get yours either.
We'll toss the coin. Heads, it'll be Mark Wilson. Tails, Gordon DL. I can't toss a tails at the moment. It's heads again. Because, you know, we've put Roger Hanna on.
Who's heads?
You.
Me? All right.
You know, we've put Roger Hanna on -2.
Aye.
But he's not played yet. 4 weeks in a row, Andy Halliday's had the.
I was listening to Andy, by the way. He's really quick. Andy, he's almost answering the questions before you finish them.
I think he's seen them.
Which leads me to believe he's got somebody behind the scenes. Jeez.
He does come in very early, Andy Halliday, by the way. He's the new Hugh Keevans, things you never thought you would say.
Really?
I'd say he's the. No, you and him are quite.
Have you ever done a show with Andy? He comes in and he writes a book before he actually comes on and doesn't use any.
He's a professional, unlike you, who just sits there with your feet in the desk.
He scribbles.
I like to draw.
Like a maniac.
I know, I like to draw. Come anyway, on, Martin. Right, well, I was just
trying to give a bit of time to let Martin get used to us and make sure the pre-match nerves are not there. So who's playing?
Me, Mark Wilson. You nervous, Martin?
It's
hard, mate. See, once the music comes on, it's hard.
Let's give Mark Wilson something else to listen to whilst we line up the timer, Martin. You're going to have 30 seconds. You answer as many as you can. If you would rather pass than guess, you can move on to the next question, okay? Let's do it. 30 seconds starts now. Who are Rangers going to face in the League Cup quarterfinals?
Oh, Falkirk.
Who was the first side Brendan Rodgers managed?
Leicester.
What stadium's got a bigger capacity, Tannadice or Dens?
Canada.
Which player played for Dundee United, Celtic and Southampton in that order?
Armstrong.
Name any team in Scotland's Nations League group.
Oh, pass.
Which sports company make the Arsenal kits?
Adidas.
Okay, let's bring back.
I knew he'd like that. Ireland's in the streams, just come on there.
I love it.
I knew he'd like it. It's the type of song I expect him this Saturday night in that recliner.
That's on my gym playlist.
On your gym playlist?
Aye, that's on my gym.
Ireland's in the stream.
What are you doing to that in the gym?
I've got the worst.
I thought gym playlists were supposed to be like upbeat and like get you in the mood for exercise.
3 degrees and everything.
Make you run faster,
playlist.
Lift more.
Can you listen to that in the gym?
Ireland's in the stream. In the gym.
Yeah.
Who's that, Kenny Rogers?
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah, brilliant. Season it comes on.
No wonder you're in the shape you are.
He's just lying on the mat. No moon. That's the worst gym song I've ever heard. Genuinely. Oh,
there's worse than that, let me tell you. Blanket on the ground's on there as well.
If we've got any personal trainers out there who want to get in touch and give us some recommendations.
How did Martin do?
Easy tonight. You've got about 5.
You ready, Mark?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. Who are Rangers going to face in the League Cup quarterfinals?
Oh, Dundee.
Who is the first side Brendan Rodgers managed?
Swansea.
What's got a bigger capacity, Tannadice or Dens?
Tannadice.
Which player played for Dundee United, Celtic and Southampton in that order?
Stuart Armstrong.
Name any team in Scotland's Nations League group.
Portugal.
Which sports company make the Arsenal kits?
Adidas.
Who scored Celtic's 2 goals in the 2003 UEFA Cup final?
Henrik Larsson.
What do you think, Martin?
Martin's done. Good night, Martin.
Beat.
He says beat.
Oh, good night, Martin.
Well,
come eat in a Jaffa cake, mate.
Another one bites the dust.
Okay, let's find out who the Rangers face in the League Cup quarterfinals.
You took a guess at that as well.
I know, that was poor from you.
That's Dundee.
It is Dundee.
Is it Dundee?
Yeah.
That's not poor if it's right.
You should really know that. Martin's a Rangers fan.
He never got it. He didn't get it. See, that's poor.
Oh,
that's poor, Martin. See, if you're going to guess the right one, don't guess Falkirk.
Oh, away and look at the cruise ships down at Greenock, mate.
Who was the first side Brendan Rodgers managed? Watford.
Watford. Watford. I was going. I thought Reading.
Still 1-0. You both went Tannadice, so it's 2-1. The player who played for Dundee United, Celtic, Southampton, Stuart Armstrong, both got it.
Oh, well done, Martin.
The men's Nations League group for Scotland is Croatia, Poland, Portugal. Mark Wilson stretches his lead. Martin was all right. He hung in there. He got Adidas for Arsenal.
I didn't get
but
that.
There was still time for Mark Wilson to stretch ahead with Henrik Larsson. We think a 6-3 to Mark Wilson. Hard lines, Martin.
Good game, boys.
You're a Rangers fan, Martin.
No, I don't think it was a good game, Martin. It was 6-3.
You're a Rangers fan?
Aye.
How are you feeling about things at the moment?
Not the best starts.
Are you one of these that... Are you like...
I'm still kind.
Ah, so that's what I was going to say. You're a bit more... You think things can be turned around? You're not too panicky yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. He says, suggest maybe around the corner. It's an important weekend even just to win, Gordon, and just make sure there's no dramas and kind of...
Like they went into the
move on to the next one as the cliche goes.
I've got to say, they went into the game under a little bit of pressure. They couldn't, I know it's early season, but League Cup, they had to get through. They've come in for a little bit of criticism, and it was all about getting through in the cup for them, and they got the job done. That man Desers, who I've said from day one will be the top goal scorer in Scotland. You ain't laughing now at me. But
why?
Got a bit early.
Scored three. It's only the 20th of August.
Oh, he's on fire, man. He should have about six or seven.
That was your prediction, wasn't it, for the season?
Yeah, I went for a wild one. I think he's brilliant.
So we asked you lot to make an outlandish prediction for the season. We videoed it, we put it on. And yours was Desers to be top scorer. Yeah. Fine. But another thing that's
not bad,
ridiculous considering how many he scored last season. Is there not someone in the Super Scoreboard stable who made what we thought was an outlandish prediction, and it probably still is, about Stephen Naismith not lasting too long in his job?
Oh, yeah.
That's a ridiculous suggestion. And it still probably is, but it just since he made the prediction, they've lost twice. I'm not getting ahead of ourselves.
We'll not say who it is, but he'll be sitting in his kitchen listening just now.
With a glass of red.
With a glass of red, yeah. Well done, Hugh.
Anyway, right, 01419511025 is the number you need. The aforementioned Cyril Dessers. Would you like to hear from him?
Yes, please.
I've actually got a surprise for you. It's exclusive reaction to you predicting that he finishes top scorer.
No, it's not.
No, you're right, it's not. Okay. It's just him talking about the fans and the massive importance after that. You know, that's, we debated this last night. Rangers went over, they celebrated with the fans at full time. I think all, or certainly most of the callers from Rangers fans we had last night felt it was over the top. They didn't like it, they thought it was too much. But I've seen social media, I know lots of you feel the other way. But this is what Cyril Dessers had to say.
This is obviously something we spoke about this week with staff, with players, but also I think it's something you cannot force these things, I think. And I think this was good to show this a little bit to them as well and show that they are important for us.
I've played at a big club before, Feyenoord, and there were moments where we were dead. Literally, they pulled us through these moments. And this crowd is, at its best moments, is unbelievable. And that's just what we need as a team in the difficult moments. If they can get behind you, oh, it gives you such a boost. And then for 10 minutes, you don't feel your legs. You keep running. And this could be an amazing like connection to have, like, but in both ways, like what they give us and what we can give back to them.
I don't think spending all week debating a celebration is a good use of our time. But Cyril Dessers is talking about it there. I'll get your brief reaction on it, if you so wish.
Brief reaction from me, not for me. I know the fans are important. I totally agree with that. They're trying to get this togetherness. Go over at the edge of the pitch and clap or whatever you want to do, fine. It was over the top, right? And I'm not going back to the usual. Players that have played at Rangers Football Club for the years gone by will probably be all saying the same. It wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have been allowed to do that under strong, strong management and leadership. You wouldn't have been allowed to do that. But I see what they're trying to do. But I think they should have done it in another way, Gordon. I think going over there, walking around and just applauding the fans and thanking them, because, you know, it is a big ask to go to Hampden and pay out the money. It wasn't in season ticket. So I get all that.
So the logic is fine, but knock a few percent off the enthusiasm is what you're asking.
You're Rangers Football Club. Rangers Football Club is, there's standards there for me.
I was brought up with them. I know it was a long, long time ago. A lot of players, legends in the past, would have probably been saying the same. Look, applaud your fans. Of course, they're massive for you. But that was over the top.
I think people might have got confused when they first seen it as celebrating the actual result and win to communicating with the fans. And I think that's what it was, what Cyril Desser says. They're trying to, you know, form a real bond because, let's be honest, the club's going through a difficult period at the minute. And I think the Rangers players just wanted to show their appreciation. And saying that, I do agree a bit with Taz that it's a bit strange to see how it formed. Going to the supporters, applauding them, by all means. But the problem is when you're seeing the standards at Rangers, it's a different Rangers from when you were brought up the 90s. It's just, you can't even recognise the club for what it is just now to when you were there. And maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that's what the fans see the problem is. But the players, I think, are just trying to show some sort of, or gain some sort of bond with the club to take them forward.
Let's bring in Andy on the line, see what he thinks. Andy?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Good. You?
Aye, okay. Good, I've man. Just seen the producer there. I've just seen the first thing is about the Steels arrived at Ibrox. I just hope that Rangers are making the company work for like 24/7 days all around to get us back to Ibrox as quick as possible.
Yeah, I saw this, Gordon. I think... I've done this job a long time and you kind of think you've covered off all possibilities and eventualities in Scottish football, and then you realise you have to update people and say that the third instalment of Steel has arrived at Ibrox. I'd be lying if I said I knew for sure that that meant things were going to be on track, but it certainly sounds semi-encouraging or where it should be. So Andy's right, you're now just putting your faith in the people doing the work. And I think, yeah, you know, the reports coming out, I think it was last night, that certainly as it stands, Rangers feel like they're on track to meet that initial idea of when they'll be back.
I totally agree with Andy. I think it's so important for Rangers to get back there. Look, everybody thought that, okay, it's Hampden. Domestically, Rangers can handle that because if you turn up against what the opening games against Motherwell, for instance, St Johnston, you would fancy Rangers if it was semi-final or final, whatever it may be, at Hampden, so they'd be firm favourites. But the fans aren't enjoying it. They're not enjoying it. I don't think the players enjoy it, Gordon, to be quite honest with you. I think they gave up a massive advantage in the European campaign. I would have probably thought that Rangers would have been massive favourites if it had been at Ibrox. I know they go down to 10 men, I understand that. But listen, I think the home comforts for the players as well, everything involved, I think the sooner Rangers get back to Ibrox, the better for everyone. Not just the fans and everyone, but the club as well.
So I don't think anyone is making bang-on exact date predictions, Mark, but it was always this aspirational target. It was meant to be the end of next month. It so happens the way the cup draw went, that now means another fixture in there, the Dundee game.
Well, it gives them a wee bit more breathing space.
Well, no, it was an extra game at Hampden.
Well, an extra game at Hampden. Then it could have been. Okay, yeah. It's just one of these situations. Who knows? Apart from the people who's working on the stadium, who knows when it's going to be back? Because I imagine there has to be safety checks and all that goes with it. So when it's actually completed, the work's completed, and Andy's wanting people working 24/7 round the clock. But there's all sorts of other things that had to go into place before a game could be hosted there.
Does it remind you of the 1 week's work you did at the Mitchell Library?
That was a big part of it.
Reconstruction worker.
But what would you have thought if somebody says you're working 24 hours?
I would have put in the effort. I'm a big part of that extension of the library, and a lot of people have benefited out of my hard labour.
What else? Day one, the wheelbarrow tip. You told me and that was it.
What else are you thinking, Andy?
That's what Gordon was saying. Look, Hampden, the atmosphere is dire. I mean, if you think it was a European game at Ibrox, it's in a full house. It shouldn't affect the players, but we really need to step up with performance here now because we are not playing anywhere near good enough that we should be playing. And it's annoying maybe a bit.
What did you see in the weekend that made you think it was maybe heading more in the right direction? Did you see anything?
No, not really, no. I was out that night and I couldn't see the first half, but I heard the first half was pretty poor. But I just think the players right now need to step up a lot more and start playing better football. I know a few people saying the club are playing at Hampden, but that shouldn't affect the players. They're playing a game of football.
and we've got players there that can play well, but some of them just are not turning up in it.
Yeah, let's hear from Cyril Dessers on more performance related issues rather than the fans or celebrations. He scored his third goal of the season, as Gordon pointed out at the weekend, 22 last season, and he's confident he can deliver big numbers again.
I'm quite pleased with my performance until now. Last season I was on 3 goals in October. Now it's still the middle of August, so that's a good step forwards already, and I want to keep going on this way, feeling confident, feeling good.
Can't grumble with that logic. He's 3 goals much earlier this season.
Do you know something? I'm quite disappointed for him, because I think his plays merited more than 3. I thought he could have had 1 or 2 at Tynecastle in the opening game, Gordon. Thought he was a bit unlucky. He's playing with a bit of confidence. He comes on, he's got a point to prove at Hampden. He comes on off the bench, and he gets a vital goal for Rangers to set them on their way. I like him. I think he gets a raw deal at times. I know that he could be frustrating, that sometimes you see him, he doesn't link up the play, he doesn't hold the ball up when he really should, but there's just something about him. I think he's a worker, I think he tries, I think he can score goals. 22 last season, I think he'll only get better. I like the way he goes about his business, but I just think sometimes that the Rangers fans are very quick to go on his back.
He's a player that's filling his role at the minute, isn't he? He's doing his job. Strikers are there to score goals. I think you could point the finger, if you're a Rangers fan, at plenty of others in that team who are underperforming again this season, and that's the issue for them. Creativity might be an issue, like I touched on earlier, but by the way, I think they've been so weak defensively. I think you look at the chances that Motherwell created in the closing stages of the game, and they needed Butland to make a few good saves. You look at St Johnson, they hit the woodwork and they needed Butland again. You look at the Kiev game, the closing stage, they are conceding an awful lot of chances, so they need to tighten that up, as well as get that real creative force in the middle of the pitch to supply Dessers.
Hats off to Andy for giving us a call tonight. You can do the same on 01419511025. It is a perfect time to do so. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025. No full-time teaser for you,
yes,
tonight.
Why
or
not
the rest of this week, because I need to make room for a special giveaway. Tickets to Air Races, but with a twist.
With a twist?
A fun competition for everyone to get involved in, and I'll do that very soon, so stay tuned for that. Everyone loves a giveaway. Gordon Dalziel loves things for free, so we'll see how we can go between now and the end of the show, but we'll do that fairly soon. You'll like it. I just think you'll like the way it works.
All right, okay. Yeah. I've not heard it. I take it
Yeah, I mean, I know you probably didn't listen last night. So
I was travelling, and obviously I went out of range.
Right, okay.
I was riveted to the radio listening to Andy and who was on? Roger. Brilliant. Two of them are very good together.
So sincere, isn't he?
How boring is it?
Honestly. That's your colleagues you're talking about, your friends.
I'm not to say that. It's just had an attack on Roger and Andy for no reason.
Ah, lovely too.
Right, what else have we got for you tonight? You can get in touch on Twitter at Clyde SSB. You can give us a call. Of course, the most exciting bit of the transfer window is players in. The more boring but equally as important bit, Mark, is players out. Did you notice the latest is that Dutch side Heerenveen apparently wants Celtic defender Gustav Lagerbielke on loan. Again, not a hugely wonderfully exciting transfer story, but a sign of a move that hasn't worked clearly from last season.
Without doubt, yeah. And you've got to clear the decks. I think any good manager understands that as well. When this time when the window comes round and people are just focused, bring people in, but you can't stockpile players. So you need to shift these ones that are on the fringe or just taking up space in the building. Lagerbielke's certainly that. Look, it's not worked for him. He came with a decent pedigree, and people thought it could have been the answer.
Very good pedigree,
yeah.
Really.
But just he just looked weak, didn't he? He looked slight for a centre back. He looked nervy.
That bad in terms of how we haven't really seen him. And then that's where you have to almost do that thing where you trust the fact that Brendan Rodgers sees him every day, and you don't, because there's one thing not quite being at the level where you take Celtic on to the next step. But I mean, he's behind Stephen Welsh in a pecking order. He's well behind Liam Scales in a pecking order. Presumably he's similar or behind Mike Navrotsky as well, who is another relatively big money signing. Well,
he's obviously, I agree, Gordon, I don't think he's had a lot of game time, but he's obviously not doing enough in training to catch a manager's attention to say, look, I'm looking to get a few games under my belt here to show you what I can do. I think obviously Brendan Rodgers has made up his mind clearly on that. It's best for the boy, you know, it's not worked for him. Scottish football's not worked for him. Doesn't mean to say that he can't go somewhere else and get his career up and running again. And I think for both parties it'd be a good move for him to get out of Celtic Park, and it frees up some money as well.
Because you don't need to be a sensation straight away, and it's slightly different because the player I'm going to mention was January rather than the summer. But look at Nicholas Kuhn. Some people, maybe a lot of people, would have had him down as an unsuccessful bit of transfer business last season, maybe, or maybe a kind of jury still out type. Now look at him at the start of this season. Yeah. But if there were any Celtic fans out there who thought, you never know, maybe another pre-season under Lager Bielka's belt, maybe a year of having the surroundings, maybe he can emerge. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Certainly not. And I think there's been plenty of opportunities for Lager Bielka to come into the side if he was shown his worth in training. You look at Carter Vickers and the big spell that he had out through injury. You mentioned Welsh coming in out the side. Well, Welsh comes in the side and he goes straight back out because he's always unfortunate that he picks things up. So there was a gap there for Lager Bielka, and Brendan Rodgers never felt comfortable putting him in. That tells you everything you need to know, and at this stage it's best for all parties to move on. But what they do need is a replacement. I know Lager Bielka wasn't playing, but they need someone in there, if only to push Liam Scales, same as Greg Taylor. Cameron Carter-Vickers is nailed on, but they need another that they can rely on.
10 appearances last season. Did keep a clean sheet in a win at Ibrox and scored the winner in a Champions League group game, but was sent off in another one, and we didn't see him too much. So Hiran Veen's manager currently. Anyone? Extra quiz question for you.
Is he British, I take it?
No.
Okay then.
Give me a clue.
Robin Van Persie. It's not more than a clue, it's just his name.
Robin Van Persie.
Robin Van Persie. Ah. Did you know that?
No, yeah, I didn't know he was in management, yeah, did you?
There you go. I like to educate good you both. Player. Just make sure that you take something away from every show.
That's good. I'll remember that one.
Gary's a Celtic fan from East Kilbride. How are you, Gary?
Hi, good, thanks. First thing, God, I'd just like to say, it's good to get on the show and just a couple of questions. And yeah,
it's brilliant to have you, Gary. So, what did make you call tonight? What was on your mind?
Basically, I'm thinking, kind of what was you were talking about earlier on with the Matt O'Reilly situation. Mm-hmm. I think, unfortunately, I think he's going to be away. I would love him to stay for another season, but I kind of see it with the options that he has. And again, I think that somebody had mentioned earlier on as well, you know, like Kieran Tierney. See if the valuation is met, if the club's going to get money that they just... I don't really think it's up to him either. Do you know what I mean? I think it's up to the club. And they'll make sure that he goes. Do you know what I mean? So, Kieran Tierney didn't really want to go to Arsenal, but that's the kind of thing that happens.
So
really
you just on, you think Matt O'Reilly will be away to Brighton or somewhere else?
I think he'll go to Brighton.
Yeah.
I think, as we said earlier on, all the infrastructure and everything there, they're an upcoming club. They're doing really well at the moment. So, and it's a stepping stone for them as well. So he could go into one of the bigger, better clubs in the Premier League as well.
Gary has shifted it a bit and saying, because it feels like the start of the show was about what Matt O'Reilly wants. Gary's saying, well, but what about what Celtic want? If that price is made, it's on their terms. I don't quite think Celtic will kick him out the door and make him go if he doesn't want to. It just strikes you, Mark, if it is that fee, it's going to suit everybody. It's not a move that Matt O'Reilly's then going to say to Celtic, no, please don't.
Yeah,
you know, it just feels like it would be one that will just...
And this is what we need to remember. Even Kieran Tierney's been mentioned twice or three times in the show. Even when that fee was reached for him, he's still a big Celtic fan. He still loves Celtic.
That's Gary's point, though. Even for the guys that it's maybe hard to go and they're not delighted to be running out the door, it still happens.
Of course, because they see the bigger picture. Daz mentioned it earlier, the bigger picture. And while they love their football here, they love Celtic, they love winning trophies here and representing the club in the Champions League, there is a bigger picture. And I know some Celtic fans don't see that because it's a goldfish bowl and the club's bigger than anybody in the world. But it's the competition, the levels you're playing at, what comes with that. We touched on the wraparound service, the training ground, the environment you're in. Everything about the Premier League is glitz and glamour. And then you've got the actual competition you're playing in. You touched on it earlier. It's not like the Middle East. You go there and it's empty stadiums and it's poor quality. It is the top at everything. So that's why players decide to go as well, even though they still love the club.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it'd be an easy choice for Matt O'Reilly. I think if Celtic were happy with the price, I think Matt O'Reilly, you're quite right, he's not going to turn around and say, no, I'm not going to the Premier League to go and play with a club the stature of Brighton. And he can flip it from there, because I think he's got another move to a bigger club in England if he keeps progression. He's at the right age, everything about it. It has got to suit both parties, of course it has. But when the Premier League usually comes calling for players that have played up in Scotland, you usually find that they end up there.
Because I'd much prefer our raw, wonderful product. I don't think it has to be everything just because it's the bright lights. But in the same token, you can't ignore the fact, say he went towards the end of the window, had a look at the fixtures, just to kind of remind yourself, he would likely have the chance to play against Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, Newcastle, Liverpool and Man City before he reaches in mid-November.
Oh,
if he's to go at the end of the...
I would wait for a January window for an easier run. Yeah.
You're quite relaxed about it, Gary. You know, if that's the case, it sounds like you expect it to happen. I don't think you'll be happy about it, but you kind of made your peace with it.
No, yeah, I think it's just one of the things. You really get Christopher Ayer and Virgil van Dijk, a few other players that we had as well. Maybe it can be, you know, Bournemouth and stuff like that way. Other players as well that, you know, they've went on and they've done better down there and done the other places mm-hmm. as well. So it kind of holds them back. Do you know what I mean? He's that good that he's going to progress wherever he goes, and he's going to make money for us as well if he's you know, if he's sold on before as well. So you kind of really grumble about that, really. But I would love to, stay maybe another season or even up to the new year, see what we get. If we can get him in for the Champions League, then I would be really hopeful. But yeah. Nah, I kind of see him staying.
If this is to play out the way people are expecting, then... It would be up there though with one of the not harder to take, but you know, kind of sad to see you go ones that Celtic have had, because although Gary mentions like Ayer, Edward Christie, they were high profile ones, remember what was happening at Celtic at that time. It was probably right for them, you know. Yeah. Although they got big moves, I don't think hearts were broken there.
Yeah.
So you're maybe in the kind of Kieran Tierney type. Because even Van Dijk, trying to remember the mood, it was such a long time ago.
I think with those individuals you're talking about, I think their heads were turned to a certain extent, and I agree with you. I don't think the atmosphere was perfect between the players and the staff at the club at that time, so it was right for everyone to move on. But you hear nothing but good things about Matt O'Reilly, and I touched on it earlier, you know, he seems like the perfect pro. You don't see him really splashing about social media about anything. You don't hear reports he's agent or any ludicrous demands, and he's playing good football and looks like he's enjoying it as well. You know, he's playing with a smile on his face just now. That's all you can do when you're employed at a club until the club tells you otherwise.
Thank you very much to Gary. That was painless, Gary. You'll do it again.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Aye,
thanks.
Good man. Gary on for the first time. I like to speak to Gary and East Kilbride. Do you know what I think my favourite story of the day is? It just popped up earlier on, and it reminds me of the reason that you're here. We were joking that you had been sacked. Unfortunately, not yet. But yeah, you're having logistical issues around the training ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have you seen the story which involves, and we have to now call him friend of the show, Brian Graham, the women's team,
yeah,
the dog?
The dog.
Because look, I know there was, you thought I was going down the serious route. I know there was a terrible injury and it took ages for the ambulance to come, and now you're making me feel bad about moving on to a jokey topic.
That's fine, you'll be laughing.
But a story that I'm reading here from the Daily Record, that Partick Thistle's temporary plans have been thrown into disarray all because of a urinating pup.
Is this a true story?
Yeah, I'm reading it from the Daily Record here. Complaints were made by Hibs to league bosses after a dog is understood to have peed on a bag of footballs during Thistle's SWPL opening game against the Leith side. Jags have now been forced to move Sunday's game against Glasgow City to an alternative venue.
I know where this was played. This game was played.
Was it Maryhill Juniors?
Maryhill Juniors.
So a dog's got
dogs,
in
man.
Peed on the balls.
It could have been worse.
So there you go.
Really?
Game abandoned.
And they've complained at that.
So like you, Peters Hill is getting, was it getting relayed,
getting
or
relayed,
something?
Yeah,
so
apparently, yeah.
Partick Thistle and Glasgow City, who usually play there, are playing elsewhere.
But there's dogs on the list.
Dog's got on, peed on the balls.
Who was that dog?
Not happy.
Was it a pup, did you say?
It's just a word. I don't know if it was technically a puppy. It's just the word.
What's the difference? If it was a pup, you let it off it. But yeah. Hibs not happy then.
Do you know what I think we need to do?
Get Brian on the phone.
Nah, forget him.
He's good for a quote.
Journalistic responsibilities
to
find the owner of the dog. If that is your pup, come on here and defend. Your dog's name's been dragged through the mud here.
Daily Record.
Causing chaos.
I think we should have a go at Hibs here for complaining about that.
Just move on.
I mean, come on. They must have not been happy with the game getting switched there.
Are annoyed because they say they had the go-ahead to play there.
They did.
From league bosses anyway, so...
As long as they kept dogs under control, which have clearly failed them.
Well, listen, if we've tracked this guy down, I think we can track down the owner of the pup. We've tracked down the guy from the cobbler.
Have you?
Who reckons that we rode a ball. It was Scotty who says he met you. And even better, it was you he beat. He says he beat you 5-1.
Oh.
Unbeat the pup.
He didn't tell me that halfway up. He looked like he was breathing. He was finding it tough. Where it was a walking apart from me after doing the big one.
We've tracked him down. Anyway, if you're the owner of said dog who peed on Hibs footballs, get your call in. Right, this is the bit I've been looking forward to all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're giving away tickets to Virgin Bet Air Gold Cup at Air Racecourse. Great day out, isn't it?
Oh, brilliant.
Saturday, 21st September. That's the
That grandstand.
We've taken it up a notch. We didn't have this dramatic music last night.
It's grandstand.
It is the main event of the Scottish flat racing calendar, and you can buy your tickets, if we're already getting you in the mood, for the entire Gold Cup weekend, air-racecourse.co.uk. Gates open at 11, first race 1:15, the last one 4:40. So a good day of entertainment. But if you want to win your tickets, listen carefully to make sure you get the joke first time. We want you to come on here and play V-Nay. R. Get it?
V. Nay R. No.
It comes up with this rubbish.
Like V. A. R. But then that horse says nay.
Nay.
Is that one of your. Who's made that?
Never mind. But hold on, there's method to the madness. I'm going to give you three players who played in Scotland, and you've got to tell me which one of them scored nay goals.
Nay
over yet?
Nay chance.
Last night we had three signings who came into Rangers under Mark Warburton. Tonight we've got three Brendan Rodgers signings from the summer of 2016: Christopher Ayer, Christian Gamboa, or Scott Sinclair. Which one of them scored nay goals? Give us a call right now, 01419511025. Tell us the right player. You'll be off to the Air Gold Cup on Saturday, the 21st of September. We'll pick one caller at random. The lines close at the end of this break. 01419511025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. They're on the home straight in tonight's show, and there is still time to call if you want to talk about any of tonight's topics. Matt O'Reilly, we heard from Cyril Dessers. We're talking transfers. Are you the owner of a dog that peed at the Partick Thistle Hibs women's game? We'd love to hear from you as well. Whatever it is that's up your street tonight, do give us a call. But before we go any further, we have been playing V-Nay-R. You two are just not having
brilliant.
That at all.
Brilliant.
It's basically your chance to win tickets to Virgin Bet Air Gold Cup at Air Racecourse Saturday the 21st of September. You can buy the tickets. I mean, if that's your that way inclined, air-racecourse.co.uk. But why not come on here, play this imaginatively named game and try and win them for free? So VNAR, we asked you to tell us which of these three players scored nay goals in Scotland. Christopher Ayer, Christian Gamboa, or Scott Sinclair. On the line, we've got Craig from Dumbarton. How's it going, Craig?
Hi, Gordon. I'm fine, thanks.
You a fan of the races?
I've been a few times, yeah.
You will be by the end of this day out, if you can get it right. Which of these players scored nay goals? Christopher Ayer, Christian Gamboa, or Scott Sinclair?
Christian Gamboa.
It is Christian Gamboa. 62 for Scott Sinclair. We made that really difficult for you. 7 for Christopher Ayer and 0 for Christian Gamboa. So well done to you, Craig. You're off to Air Racecourse Saturday the 21st of September. Happy with that?
Yeah, nice one. Thanks very much.
Good man. Enjoy the day out on us. Yeah, well, I think you'd like a bit of that. You too.
I love the racing.
Love it. I've never been to a race course.
Have you not?
No, but I bet you've got some tales from your time down there.
Hamilton.
Nee. Been to Hamilton. I've been to Hamilton. Bit of hospitality.
You must have been to air lots of times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd do a bit of hospitality down there. Big celeb down there.
Air-racecourse.co.uk.
Can you sort us out? Bit of hospitality?
Yeah.
Me and you?
No problem.
Down at air?
We'll go to Hamilton first. I like Hamilton.
I remember the mascot. I was there for the mascot race at Hamilton. Did you see? Have you ever seen that?
We're in one of the suits.
We'll go to the
unique.
I went to the Air Grand National. Never seen a horse.
It sounds like something you would do.
What were you up to?
I was in hospitality. I never moved to hospitality. Anyway, I nee seen a horse.
This is really popular.
He's just trying to slip nee into your brain.
This is a really
make sense.
Really popular competition. Honestly, the lines are still lighting up. So air-racecourse.co.uk, head there, you can get your tickets. Should be a brilliant day out. Of course, you can try and win them with us throughout the rest of the week. So thanks to the good folks down there who are honestly, you two need to let this VNAR go. You'll get the gist of it before the end of the week. I'm absolutely certain. Been a quick show tonight, by the way.
Oh, it's been very quick. I'll tell you what, did you hear my intro tonight?
I was going to say, we've not addressed what happened at the start of the show.
But see, for anyone who
took no credit
for anyone who tuned in bang on the start of the show, they won't have heard it. And I suppose if you listen to the pod, if you're listening to this later on in the podcast, you won't hear it either.
I know what you're missing.
Bang on 6 o'clock, I usually do just a very brief super scoreboard's coming up next. Here's the number. But first of all, your latest Clyde news. I was
late.
Marvin Bartley late tonight. Yeah. I mean, like, off the scale, heart in my mouth, late.
I was pacing up and down looking out the window.
Well, I was so excited.
And you had to do the news intro.
I was good, wasn't it?
I heard you just as I was walking down the corridor.
I was quite good.
Right, you've never seen a change in a guy like this. So we just relaxed in the office, just chatting away like we usually do. Then he gets word and he's here that you're late. Then they say to him, you're going to have to do the intro. He didn't speak a word to me for the remaining 20 minutes. He just sat there. Mate, and I said, what's up with you? He says, I'm going to have to do the opening of the show.
I was pacing up. I actually went outside to see if I could see.
Not as panicky, honestly. See, when I was...
Producer Michael came in and said to me, why is Daz standing outside? I said, he must be out there using the phone. His phone was on the table then, beside me. I thought, oh.
I was just looking for him, wondering where his car was.
I was working at the...
Open?
Women's Open in St Andrews.
Yeah, I was in St Andrews.
I had plenty of time, right? Just under 3 hours to get back. And I know it's far away, I accept that. But I did not think 3 hours far away.
It's a hard place to
be. I was in real bother.
Yeah. Oh, we were rooting for you to be late, Gordon.
Yeah.
I know you would have been sweating. I get anxious myself at that. But just to hear this guy.
Do you think we could have handled us two together?
Well, I would have just played my normal role. You had to present.
I would have played your role. I was really good.
Got that in your locker.
Do you know what?
He said to me, what's the headline? I was just feeding him nonsense.
So you were going to do the whole...
Oh yeah, I was going to go...
Good evening, welcome to Clyde on Super Scoreboard. Three headlines.
Yeah, what about you?
There's a dog in the loose in Maryhill.
What about you, Celtic fans? What about the Motherwell fans? Get your calls in 0141 951.
How bad does that sound? What about you, Celtic fans? What about you, you could have just went through the full list of teams.
Sounded a bit.
Any Spartan fans out there?
Delia Smith there. Yeah. Where are you?
Where are
you? Westby Avenue. That's what it sounded like.
Do you know what was really, really upsetting? Michael, the producer, come up and says, look, you do the intro. I says, do you not think Mark's better at it? He went, oh, 100%. He says, but you'll make a mess.
Oh, I was gutted when I seen you coming in, Gordon. But well done in the wee pre-intro.
Well, we play it back just in case anyone missed it. Let's hear your handiwork. Let's hear it.
Super Scoreboard is up next. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025. But first, your latest news.
Came in over the intro.
Honest feedback. It was good, right? But I think you crashed the start of it a wee bit. You need to just let that. Let's hear it one more time.
Super Scoreboard is up next.
You're speaking too early.
I went with the wee clock at the
listen,
top.
Listen, it was good for a first time. Yeah. But I just think room
it's
for
just
improvement.
Nerves, isn't it? When you get nervous eagerness. And you go early.
Do you think I went too quick?
Yep. No, there's a saying
been,
for that.
That has been said. But anyway,
I come unlucky.
You learn and move on. Hopefully I'm never that late again, because that was not good. And I'm so glad it wasn't the night that Marvin Bartley was on, because he would have ridiculed me. Hugh Evans has been in touch and says that was a low point for broadcasting.
For a so man who's been on the show forever, he must have thought we've hit rock bottom.
Yeah, hard to.
But you made it, Gordon. You recovered.
I thought Shuggy would have gave me a bit of moral support, but he's even getting ripped in it.
Hard to argue too much. I think what would have been a low for broadcasting is if we had tracked down the owner of the dog who had urinated at the Hibs and Partick Thistle women's game.
Still
nothing yet. Let me just check my Instagram sometime.
Get to the bottom, yeah.
That's where the cobbler man popped up, was Instagram. So you never know.
It's a way to communicate these days.
Check all the platforms. Nah.
Do you ever get fed up doing that?
What?
Going walking up the hills.
No.
No.
Why?
Great conversation.
Well, it's a different
glad you
hill.
That with
what is it called? The Cobbler?
The Cobbler. You never heard of that?
Is that a Monroe?
No, just under.
Is it? Oh, there you go. Just under. Another. Just see, that's why he's here. He's educating us now.
10 metres under. Yeah. But I was heading for another
Monroes
one. It was too windy. So we had to go another one.
How many Monroes have you
not
done?
Not many.
Don't they? I've done many when you've done Kilimanjaro.
You put the big one at. That's do Everest next
have your
year.
Guts recovered from that trip actually?
I'm back. Oh, I'm back to regular's clockwork for all this.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, you asked the question. I just what meant, do you want me to say? Just
solid.
I think a yes would have done.
8 a.m. every morning.
Yeah. I was going to say, have you regained weight? Oh my God. Jeez. You realise I have my dinner when I go home from this show?
Well, enjoy your dinner, everyone. 8 a.m. on the dot.
That's a really.
That was disgusting.
A couple of we've started low, we're finishing low.
Yeah. And I'm looking at just the random tweets that are coming in. I don't even know how to fit both these very different topics in. I don't know if Daryl's joking here. He says, do you think Rangers should see if Chelsea really want Chilwell and Sterling out of Stamford Bridge, take them on loan and pay a fraction of their salary, putting them out there for a permanent transfer? I can't see it.
No.
If they kind of get Seema back on loan,
I think there's more chance of
me going
you dragging low. Him up the cobbler.
Yeah, I think there's more chance.
There's little chance of that. Aye, certainly not.
Are you anticipating a good week? We'll see you two again, I would imagine. But European
we'll
football
Thursday.
Back around.
Yeah, I think we've got off to a good start this season. I'm enjoying the football. Obviously, Hearts and Killy, Europe, so it's important for them. And then the weekend, we've got a lot of interesting games. So, yeah, but a good build up to the week.
It's a big couple of days for Stephen Naismith, though, isn't it? I mean, Hugh had his prediction. I don't think any has agreed with him. But if you go out to Falkirk by the way you've started, and then you get a poor result in Europe, and that, you know, then snowballs, you could be in trouble. So big week ahead for
big
him.
Week ahead on the pitch, and of course transfer window. You can just tune in tomorrow, Celtic fans, and get the very latest, if there is one, update on Matt O'Reilly. Will there be something else out there? We'll certainly give away more tickets to Virgin Bet Air Gold Cup, air-racecourse.co.uk. If you want to visit there in the meantime, there'll be more of your calls, more of your tweets. We thank you for all your company tonight, and enjoy the rest of your evening.